But now, a book. The Locksmith is a novel. It's a crime novel packed with violence but also with emotion. It's written by convicted murderer Linda Calvey from Essex in England, who spent 18 years in prison for the murder of her lover Ronnie Cook in 1990. But from her life in crime, the book therefore gives an insight into what potentially, when fact becomes fiction or when fiction becomes fact, because author Linda Calvey is on the line to talk about The Locksmith. Linda, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Now, I suppose we should start with your origins and how you ended up in a life of crime, because if you read the book, it turns out that the hero of the book had no intention of embarking on a life of crime, where clearly she ends up in the course of the narrative, because she came from a straight family. What about yourself?
Well, I actually did come from a straight family. I come from a large family. I have three brothers and five sisters. My father was a blacksmith. My mother was a market trader. And I was brought up in a very straight and honest life.
And yet from the book and the childhood of Ruby in the book, she was surrounded by thieves and scoundrels. And was that the way it was for you?
Yes, I think in the East End, going back at those times, crime was very rife. I mean, the majority of it was quite petty, maybe a bit of shoplifting or pinching stuff from lorries or whatever. But there was always something for sale. There was always somebody had got something, you know, and... as I say, my parents were very honest and straight, and as were my family. But that was why I wanted my family in the book, which is a fiction book, but it is built on my life experiences through time of people. So, as I say, it's fiction, but it's as near to fact as you can get, because it is sort of the life I knew, although my characters are fictional.
The advice to authors who have an ambition to write a book is write about what you know, and you certainly have done this in the book. Now, how did you, if this is the right term, how did you lose your way? How did you make your way into criminality?
Well, I was not involved with criminality at all until I met my husband, who actually was a career criminal. And much to my family's dismay, I fell in love with him. And that was the start of my sort of going down the wrong path.
You have been dubbed the Black Widow. Because any of the men you got involved with either ended up dead or in prison.
Well, yes, they have called me that. But originally, I was called that when my first husband was shot dead by the police. And I wore black for 6 months. And in the East End, that is usually, if it's somebody that close to you, a parent or your partner, one of your children, then you'd wear black for 6 months and it's the done thing. But they sort of decided to dub me the Black Widow with a wearing black, which I thought was a bit unfair, because my first husband who did die was not at my hands. It was the hands of a policeman.
Now, the crime for which you were jailed for 18 years was at the death of Ronnie Cook in 1990.
Yes.
I mean, did you put your hands up for that and say,
no,
yep, I did
always,
it?
I have always denied that. I've been to prison twice. The first time I freely admitted I committed that crime. I got 7 years and I deserve to be in prison. And I said that from day one. This time it was different. I was framed by the police, actually, and I'm hoping that eventually it will come to light. And when I was convicted, The judge put his hands out and said, "I'm sorry, all I can do is refer you to the full Court of Appeal," which afterwards I found out was unheard of. It had only ever happened once before in legal written history.
Yeah. So your contention is that the judge did not believe you were guilty, although the jury did.
Yes.
The narrative about you is that you paid a hitman, Daniel Rees, £10,000 to kill Ronnie Cook.
It was totally untrue.
And then, no, let me finish the narrative, you could tell it better than me. What they were saying was that then he balked at that, he lost his nerve, and you took the gun and shot Ronnie Cook dead. That's what they say about you.
Yes, that is what they say. But in actual fact, the truth was, on the day that it happened, I was not aware that this crime was going to be committed. I was at the scene. When it happened, I ran out of my house. There happened to be a uniformed police officer walking along the road. And I screamed, and he came running over, looked in my house and went, "It's 12:28, it's a murder." And it had literally happened that minute. Obviously then there was all the murder police turned up. I was the only person left at the scene other than Ron Cook. So I was taken to the police station and they said to me, "We can offer to do these tests on you to see whether you've touched a gun." So I said, "Please do them." They did the tests, they came back negative, and they said to me, "We now know that you did not do this." But 2 days later, the head of the murder squad called at my house and said to me, "We are charging you with the murder." So I said, "But your own forensic evidence proved I didn't do it." And he said, "Oh, when did we do that then?" And they all denied doing those tests. And I have... from that day, I have always protested my innocence. Mm.
And yet, you did serve 18 and a half years.
I did.
And it seems, I don't know whether you were a model prisoner or not, but it must, if you believe in your own innocence, although you were, you know, involved in the world of criminality, as you said yourself, yes, you'd been to jail before, it must be very difficult to serve a sentence believing yourself to be innocent of the crime.
It's very, very hard. As I said, the first time I went to prison, I got 7 years. And that was many years ago. And at that time, I had the biggest sentence in Holloway Prison. And they said to me, "Oh, how will you do it?" And I said, "I will do it because I committed the crime." And I rode along, because you can't beat the authorities. If you fight them, you just get longer time. So with that, I just did everything. And when I went back the second time, I said to them, "I didn't commit this crime." But I still was a model prisoner, because I know that fighting the system, you do not win it once you're in it. But as I was going back to the judge said he recommended 7 years. Now, I was charged with gangland murder, which I was told should have been from 20 years up. He recommended 7, but because I would not admit I did it, I ended up doing 18 years. And it was only because they changed the law that you didn't have to admit you did it if you didn't, or I would still be in prison now.
Yeah. What was your first sentence for, by the way?
That was for armed robbery, which I did and I feel very ashamed of, and I deeply regret.
Now, the business of writing a book, you've got an endorsement from your friend Martina Cole, whom I've interviewed.
I did indeed.
So how did writing the book come about? As I say, it's written based on your own experience, so it has that ring of authenticity.
Yes.
But just because you know stuff doesn't mean you can write it. So how did that come about?
Well, what happened originally, over the years that I was in prison, I read various different articles every now and again about me. People put sort of bits in books, etc. And my last husband, who I met, who was a completely honest man that I met when I started going out on my home leaves, said to me, Linda, write your own story, tell the truth. You've had to listen to everybody else writing about you, and you're good at writing. So I said I would. But then sort of time went by and I was just living my life. And then my husband unfortunately died of cancer 5 years ago. And when he was dying, he said to me, Linda, write your book. And that is why I wrote my first book, The Black Widow. And I enjoyed writing it so much that I think I got the bug. And I really, really enjoyed writing The Locksmith. And I am already halfway through book two.
Because Ruby is going to feature in a series. And I hope that's not too much of a spoiler, because, you know, throughout the storyline, there are moments when Ruby could easily have come to harm.
Yes.
So, in a
yes.
sense, it's a bit of a spoiler in that way. Are you still trying to clear your name, or now that you've found a different path in life, you know, you're going to have a career as a writer, and who knows, maybe Ruby could feature in some small or big screen adaptations, who knows?
Oh,
but are you still going to spend your time trying to clear your name?
Well, since I've come home, I've always lived in hope. I've always been a glass half full, which is probably quite hard considering I did all those years in prison. But I still believe that one day somebody will come forward and go, she did tell the truth. We did do those tests. We did eliminate her. And the story we wrote about her wasn't true. I mean, my children go to me, Mum, you're hoping for a lot for the police to do that. But maybe the police in, I'm old now, the police at that time, obviously all retired, maybe one of them may get a little bit of conscience and go, you know, that lady was in prison all those years and she shouldn't have been. It's a lot to hope for. I'm not actively going out of my way to fight it because it eats you up. And as I say, I really enjoy writing my books, which is what I do nowadays. And I'm very proud of The Locksmith. I'm really, really happy with it. And as we say, there is a book two on the way.
All right. As I say, it could well be a series, but you therefore reveal that Ruby survives. It's called The Locksmith. It's published by Welbeck. Its author is Linda Calvey, who, as you heard, has been convicted of murder, but does protest her innocence even to this day. Linda, thank you very much for joining us on the programme today.
Thank you so much for having me, and I hope whoever buys the book enjoys it as much as I did writing it.
All right, Linda. Thanks again. Bye-bye.